Man, good morning. Okay, that didn't sound like the caffeine had kicked in yet. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Now that you guys are sounding good. Now, hey, look, listen, look around, give somebody a wave, a smile that says, I am so glad to be here today, and I am glad that you're here and that you're on board. And if you're part of our online audience, as always, we welcome you today. And if you ever have any questions as part of our online audience, you can be sure to hit up our website. Either Dr. Cazito or somebody will make sure that we get answers for you to your questions. But we're so glad to have you on board with us as well today. So we're praying and trusting that God's going to speak to our hearts in an incredible way today. Let me tell you one thing that I can promise you, and let me tell you how I can promise you this. If you came here today seeking the Lord, you will find him. And you know, here's the thing. How can I say that, and how can I say that with assurance? Because the Word tells us that. So let me tell you what's going on right now around you. There is a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual warfare that's taking place in your life right now. Let me tell you why. Satan doesn't want you to hear what the Lord has to say to you. So you know what he does? He makes us busy. And it doesn't mean that it's because of bad stuff, but he makes us busy. You know, sometimes we can even be so busy trying to do a service that we're forgetting why we're doing a service. So here's what I want you to do today. As you've come in here today, I am asking you to make sure that you're aware of the peripheral things that are going on around you. Be aware of that spiritual battle and give it to the Lord. Listen, I know how many of y'all got stuff planned today? How many of y'all already got plans for lunch? All right, I get it. Now it's coming up here in not too awful long, but for just a few moments, take that time to say, I am going to shut down everything around me. I'm going to let my mind be here in the Lord's house in the presence of the Lord today, and I want to hear what he has to say. I promise you won't be sorry, and I can make that guarantee because the Lord has given us that promise. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we are concentrating upon you. We are not allowing all of the things that are that kind of pile up in life to get in our way today. So, Lord, I just ask that for these moments that we will spend here together as a body of believers, Lord, we claim promises in your word that says where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And, Lord, we're grateful that you are here. We are grateful, Father, that you have a message for us individually. Not necessarily everybody else. It may be a different message, but you have a message for each and every one of us, tailor-made for our lives, where we are. And Lord, you're going to speak to us today. I pray that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say and courage to act upon what we hear from you. So Lord, right now, I pray that in all that we say and all that we do, may it magnify you as we lift you up, Father, draw all men unto you, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. As we get started today, we have been mentioning that we are in the process of collecting our North Carolina missions offering. This is the offering that goes to support the missions of the North Carolina Baptist State Convention. We have been highlighting a couple of those along the way so you can see what the North Carolina Baptist missions offering does. I always said, you know, it's nice to know what you're giving to, and it's nice to know what's taking place. Now, today, we're actually going to highlight the disaster response ministry. As you know, a lot of the folks, even in this room, that are part of our church, actually, you know, we're pretty much active in disaster. Actually, we're calling it disaster response ministry at this particular point. We've got, I think Jeff does feeding. Jimmy and I are two of the road tractor drivers. Steve is one of the guys that's a chaplain. You got Kirk, who's one of the chainsaw crew. And these folks go. They have been going over this whole past year for Helene and still continue to go today. So take just a moment, and before I say this, once this is over with, Brad's going to come lead us as we worship. But just as a reminder, if the Lord is leading you to give to that offering, you can use one of those envelopes. And if there's not an envelope in the back of your pew, you can holler at somebody who looks like they know what they're doing. We'll get you one. And you can put NC Missions offering on that. And 100% of that will go to North Carolina Baptist State Convention to be used for these various ministries that it supports. So today, we're featuring actually the Disaster Response Ministry. Go ahead and roll it.
For over 40 years, Disaster Response has been one of the driving forces behind Baptists on Mission. Your gifts to the North Carolina Missions offering provide general support for Disaster Response and all other ministries of Baptists on Mission. In the aftermath of Hurricane Helene last year, volunteers wearing yellow shirts and Tyvek suits responded immediately.
We've been getting water tankers in different places in Western North Carolina because there's multiple towns that have no water. We also have many volunteers cutting trees off houses, ripping out insulation from under houses, taking out cabinets and walls that have been drenched by the floodwaters.
If you go and look at different areas in our county, the whole land layout looks different. It doesn't even look like the same place. The rivers are widened, roads are completely gone, railroad tracks completely washed out.
This is one of three large feeding sites. Today, there'll be over 40,000 meals that will be prepared and given to hungry people in many of these areas of Western North Carolina.
We just want to try our best to take care of the needs of people, to offer them hope in the name of the Lord.
In the 3 months after Helene hit, 13,000 people, including those from other states, volunteered through Baptists on Mission. The response was unprecedented.
This is the church. Y'all are beautiful showing up here. To have all this destruction and then you see a bunch of yellow shirts and a smiling face, it is beautiful. And it really warms my heart. And I know that God sends His people where they're needed.
The relief is unexplainable. I really thought that I couldn't make it through this. But for me, all the others that's being helped by this organization, I want to say thank you.
It's going to be a long time for us to rebuild here, so don't forget about us.
Please continue to remember people in Western North Carolina, to pray for them, to give, and to be prepared to come and help. We want to be here 3, 4, 5 years from now helping people in Jesus' name.
Living Sent means seeing a need, responding to the need, and offering hope in Jesus' name. Your gifts to the North Carolina Missions offering help make that possible.
The idea, amen? That just goes to show you some of what takes place behind the scenes. In fact, if you saw that, when you saw that feeding unit is the one that Jimmy took up to Marion. So they were working off of that for that whole time up there. That was Manna 1. That particular unit, and Jimmy, right there, sitting in the corner, is the primary driver for that unit for the whole state of North Carolina. So we've got a lot of involvement, a lot of activity, a lot of things that are going on with Baptists on Mission. That is just one of the ministries that that is supported by your offering of what you're giving today, which all these ministries are 100% supported by those particular offerings. So anyway, it started over. You got to see a little bit more, but now Brad's going to come lead us as we worship.
Well, before we start to sing, let me say it was great. I got to be at the Panther game last week, and a lot of people have said, please go again, because I think it was their first victory, so they're taking up a collection. But let's stand and sing 547, I Stand Amazed in the Presence.
Thank you.
Amen. And great is thy faithfulness, hymn number 54.
Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. If you have your Bible, and I encourage and hope that you do, please go ahead and turn over to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7. You know, I think one of the greatest tools of the devil is deception, and I think a lot of us would agree with that. When we came down, had a discussion about it, you would say that we know that Satan is a liar. We know that he is one who tries to pull us away from the Word of God or anything that has to do with it. But I think one of the most dangerous things is what he can do to somebody who believes that they are a Christian. Now, I want to go ahead and use these words, but as always, I want to prove to you and challenge you today from the Word of God, not from the Gospel of Roy, okay? So here's my question for you. As a believer, are you assured when it comes down to your salvation? Do you know without any shadow of a doubt that if you closed your eyes on this earth, you would open them in the presence of the Master? Now, there's a reason I ask that question. You see, what Satan likes to do with people who are either not sure or have the wrong concept of what salvation is really about, he likes to keep you satisfied where you are. Now, let me give you an example. A lot of times what happens is people who, and listen, after 33, almost 34 years of being in ministry, I can sit back and talk with somebody and ask this question and say, let me ask you this. I say, well, in your personal opinion, and everybody has an opinion, right? Right, wrong, indifferent, or otherwise, everybody's got an opinion. In your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? You would be amazed at the number of people who give me answers that have to do with things like works, being a good person, all these things along the way. That is the overwhelming consensus of people in the world today of what it takes for a person to go to heaven. Let me tell you what the problem with that is. That's incorrect according to the Word of God. I don't care how good you are, goodness doesn't get you to heaven. I don't care how many works you do, works do not get you to heaven. It doesn't matter what kind of a wonderful person you may be, none of those things are what gets you into the kingdom of heaven. Now, you have probably read at some point along the way the particular passages that we are going to discuss this morning out of God's Word. Like I say, verses 21 through 23 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. But a lot of times what happens is when people get to this verse, there is a pause in their thinking. And there's a good reason why. Because these particular verses give us a litmus test as to a true salvation with the Father. Look with me, if you would, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's pray together. Father, your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It stands by itself. It needs the help of no man. But Father, today, as we come together, as we come around your word, I pray that it truly would pierce our hearts. I pray that it would cause us to evaluate where we stand with you. And Lord, most of all, I pray that after the evaluation that the Holy Spirit will show us of our own selves today, I pray that as we walk out of this place, that we will truly do so knowing that we are a child of the King, that the evidence according to your word is there in our hearts and in our lives. So Father, today, speak to our hearts. Help us in this pausing of the chaos that is life. As we come into your house, help us to hear your word. Lord, we know if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it shall be open. And your spirit will speak to us today. Father, use me as your messenger for these moments, that you would truly be the one that is high and lifted up, that you might be the one to draw all men unto you. Lord, I pray if there's one in the sound of my voice who doesn't know you, that today would be the day that all the saints in heaven will rejoice because they gave their life to you. So, Father, bless our time, and this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we kind of look at the context of what's going on in this particular scripture, this is the scripture that is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching about the characteristics and the behavior of those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. In this sermon, Jesus is emphasizing the importance of internal righteousness over external appearances and extraordinary acts. Now, that plays into exactly what I've been talking about, the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that that people say when it comes down to salvation. And I'm going to hit a few things that the church can often be guilty of as well as we go forward. Now, these verses that we've looked at also address the danger of counterfeit Christianity. I like that word, counterfeit. You know why? Because there are probably very few people in this room, or maybe even in the sound of my voice, that could identify a counterfeit bill. You might be the exception to the rule. Now listen, if it's got Donald Duck as the face on it, yeah, that's going to be pretty good. The problem is, most of the time, it don't have Donald Duck's face where the president's face goes, right? You know, the counterfeit means something that looks like something else, okay? You see, why do people counterfeit money? They counterfeit money because it costs them nothing, and yet they feel like they can get something for it. You see, today, what often happens is there is counterfeit Christianity. There are people who go around parading and looking like a Christian. Now, when it comes to counterfeit, I can still remember times when, in my police days, that there was counterfeit. And I still remember being with an FBI agent one day, and he looked at a bill, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely counterfeit. And I'm sitting there looking at it like a monkey working a math problem, trying to figure it out. I couldn't tell. You know why? It was so good. It looked so much like the real thing, but it wasn't. Now, I have often said this. I've often said this from this particular pulpit. If you want to know if something is counterfeit, when it comes down to your spiritual life, when it comes down to your spiritual walk, it is not about you studying the counterfeit. That's not what you do. How do you identify a counterfeit? Okay, this is it. Are you ready for it? You know the real thing so good that anything outside of that sticks out. That's how you do it. You know the real thing so well that you can just automatically look at it and say, well, that's not right. That's not good. And folks, in Christianity, as you come to know the Lord, as you learn to walk with Him, all of a sudden, red flags go up. Ironically enough, that when you're in today's society, there are things that are accepted as the norm that sends the spiritual red flag up, and you're like, this is not right. And yet, here's what's happening even more and more today. You're in the crowd, but the crowd doesn't seem to see anything wrong with what's taking place, with what's going on. They seem to look at it as, this is the normal. And you're like, whoa, hold on. You know, whatever happened to ask for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. Satan wants to lull you to sleep. He wants you not to see these things. Now, if the truth be known, there have been times in your life when you have struggled with the passages that we just talked about, the passages that we just read, because you sit back and go, well, wait a minute, that's not what I learned in the church. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever, how many of y'all have ever really thought about that for a minute, and you've thought, wait a minute, that's not what the preacher said. The preacher said at the invitation, if I would just call on the name of the Lord, I would be saved. In fact, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So sometimes there's some friction when it comes down to those verses. Now, I want to make something very, very clear, and everybody listen to me for just this. If you don't get anything else, be sure you get this. I am not preaching that salvation is by works. I'm not. Because the Word tells us we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not preaching that. But what I am preaching is this. This is kind of the situation in these verses that we oftentimes question when he says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Jesus in you changes you. You see, when you come to know Jesus, I mean, if you are just a hell-bent sinner and you come to know Jesus and nothing changes in your life, there's question. Now, the Lord also tells us we are not to judge, but he didn't say we couldn't be fruit inspectors, did he? Because he said you will know them by their fruits. Every one of us listening right now can think of somebody that fits that bill. Somebody in your life, somebody in that sphere of influence that profess to be Christian, but the evidence is not in their life concerning that. They go out and live like the world and the devil itself Monday through Saturday and then walk in church and talk about how Jesus saves. There's no sign of an inward change. Now, why did I say sometimes this can be confusing? Well, because the preacher said all I had to do was call on the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard me add this when I'm talking about it at an invitation? I said, I would be happy to pray with you. Prayer is communication with God. I would be happy to lead you in a prayer asking the Lord to save your soul. But I also say this, that is just the handshake introduction. That's it. I met a great fella today, sitting right over there with Gary. You know, wonderful smile. Yeah, but let me tell you, you know what? I really don't know anything about him. I just met him a little while ago. That's it. Loved what I saw about him. Nice fellow. But here's the thing about it. I don't know anything about him. How many people know the name of Jesus but do not know him? That's the problem. So when you trust Jesus, you pray a prayer and you say, Lord, forgive my sins and come into my life and save me. That's just a handshake. Listen, you got to get to know him. You got to get to love him. Yeah, you got to learn to sing the song. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Are you spending time with the Master? Are you doing that? Or have you just shook his hand and met him? Now, let me tell you what Satan wants. Satan wants you to be in that position. He wants you to walk in here and feel comfortable about the fact that you prayed with the preacher. He wants you to walk in and feel comfortable about the fact that you have been baptized. And it's like, oh, that's all I got to do. I've checked all the boxes off. I'm saved. That is not a relationship. Plain and simple. What are some things that we can interpret out of these particular scriptures today? One is that there's times that people have a false security. Now, I want you to understand, I am not trying to have people question their salvation today. But I'm also not here to lead you down the primrose path of a false security if it's not really there. And you know who can answer that question? You and God. Now, let me tell you what else I know. The Holy Spirit is going to let you know real quick what side of that coin you're on. Heads, I'm saved. Tails, I'm not. But you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Not me. I can't save anybody. I'm just a crier, as the old boy says. I just talk on his behalf. He's the one who does the saving. But what we learn from this is at times there's a false security. People may believe that mere acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord is enough for salvation. However, Jesus highlights the need for doing the will of the Father. Why is it that you do what you do? You know, I mean, there's times that in serving the Lord, it's not easy. It's costly. I mean, have you been in those situations? You're not making no money off of it, but what you're doing is using talents and abilities that God has given you, not because you can, but because God has tapped you to do that. I love that. Man, that's something that I greatly enjoy. I love being able to do what God has given me talents and gifts and abilities to do. I've said this before. If I go somewhere, we've gone on these disaster relief and recovery sites. You know what? And somebody comes up and says, hey, Roy, would you mind doing the devotion tonight? I don't have to sit back and go, let me pray about it. I don't have to sit back and say, well, you know, what time is it going to be and how long is it going to be? You know what I say? Oh, yeah. Ooh, pick me, pick me. You want me to do tomorrow too? You want me to do the other days? That's what I do. And he gives me other things. You know, he's allowed me to enjoy the love of driving and use it for his honor and for his glory, not for me, for somebody else. Man, I tell you, I beamed with pride just watching that video, because you know what I know? I know who took that feeding unit there. I know who was the one that put it on site during Hurricane Helene. He's sitting right over there. He didn't do it for money. He didn't do it for pay. He did it because he loves the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm tapping you out to do this for me. And to be able to do that is incredibly fulfilling. But Jesus highlights the need for us doing his will. And now listen, I talked about some tangible things there just a minute ago, but doing his will also means getting to know him. Are you getting to know him? How do you get to know him? It's not a trick question. Look, you've been given the book. I hope and pray you didn't have to just blow the dust off of this bad boy to come here today. I hope it is well worn. I hope you, listen, I hope you have written in that thing. I hope that there's highlights in it. I hope there's marks. I hope there's notes. And I'm gonna get real old on you here for just a second. You can't do that on an electronic device. I want the book in my hand. And if you don't have one, you come see me. I'll get you one. I'll get you a good one. I'll get you one like this old dish rag right here. You can roll it up like a newspaper. Write in it. Make it a part of who you are, that you find out what it is the Lord has in store for you, what you can do for him. Not because you're sitting there saying, well, I got to do something for Jesus today. No, your heart, the transformation of your heart makes you desire to do these things. You know, I didn't get up today and go, oh gosh, it's Sunday again and I have to preach. No. I was like, boy, Sunday's here, baby. Let's get it. Let me tell you, you know what night I sleep best? Sunday night. You know why? Because I've gotten to do what God has called me to do. Because I desire to do what he has called me to do. So one of the things about these scriptures today is that we cannot allow a false security of salvation to hold us back. The second thing is that there's true faith versus empty works. You see, genuine faith is evidenced by obedience and transformation. Did you get that word, transformation? External actions are not proof of salvation without a corresponding inner change. Did you hear me? A lot of people will go out and do good stuff. You've seen it. You've gone out there before and you've known somebody or whatever, and they go out and they do this wonderful humanitarian thing or whatever, and you know their heart. And you sit back and literally, I'm just gonna give you a visual response. When you hear what they're doing, you're like, did you get that? Let me do it again. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know why they're doing that. They're doing that so everybody else can see them. Listen, let me challenge you. Do something where nobody but Jesus sees it. Do something where nobody's going to stand up and applaud you and give you a hand. Do something for Jesus that nobody knows anything about except him. And you will watch incredible things happen. But see, the way that happens is there has to be a transformation in your heart and in your life. Jesus in you changes you. That is where the rubber meets the road. James tells us, see, external actions are not proof of salvation without a corresponding inner change. And James in chapter 2:17 says, faith by itself if it does not have works is dead. Yeah, we've heard that. Faith without works is dead. Again, I'm going to remind you of something. I am not preaching salvation by works. But I am preaching this. The Word tells us if there has been a true transformation in your heart, there should be an outward change in your works. The works are proof of the change in your life. And it's not the doldrums. You will be happy to do what God has called you to do. It will be fulfilling. And guess what? It might even cost you something. You ever had somebody look at you and say, are you doing that for free? Have you noticed everybody thinks they got to get paid for everything they do? Hey, you breathe some of my oxygen. You owe me for that. What? I mean, listen, you want to shock somebody today? Do something for no reason for somebody else. They don't understand it. They cannot handle that. Blows their mind completely. Give somebody an ear. Sometimes that's all it takes. I shared with you at the convention, as you all know, I whipped introversion a long time ago. I don't have trouble talking with people. And I told you about the homeless lady in downtown Dallas when I was on my way back to the hotel because I refused to pay the prices. I went to a convenience store and got me some snacks for the hotel. I wasn't going to pay all that high price stuff. And the Lord sent me there, and I ran into this lady. And she made a comment. She made the first comment. She said, I really like the color of your shirt, walking down the street. I said, thank you. I don't really know what color it is because I'm colorblind, but my wife dresses me, and I'll let her know that you really like the color of this shirt. And I said, by the way, what's your name? She told me her name. And she wasn't asking for it, just had the most beautiful smile. And I said, well, she was needing a little something to eat. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I said, I will buy your lunch under one condition. And she said, what's that? I said, that you eat with me. That you eat lunch with me. And she said, okay. I said, well, come on, let's go. Was that a Panera Bread? I said, get whatever you want. She said, whatever I want? I said, yeah. Get whatever you want. She didn't know how to handle that. She ordered something whiny. I don't remember what it was. I said, come on now. I said, look, I know how to eat. Look at me. I said, now, get what you want. She said, well, I don't want to take advantage of your kindness. I said, you're not. I said, the menu is the world today. Get what you want. So she got, I can't remember what the sandwich was. I said, you like soup? I said, they got a really good tomato bisque. You ought to get that with it too. We got her a meal and then went and sat down and she told me her story. I said, tell me how you got where you are. But by the end of the conversation and by the end of lunch, I had a chance to tell her about Jesus. I had a chance to tell her who had taken care of her today. I said, you know what? Roy didn't buy your lunch. The Lord bought your lunch. I said, you know, it wasn't by accident that you liked my shirt today and said something about it. The Lord planned all that out. The Lord planned for me to wear this today. Let me tell you why. Because He loves you that much. And I got a chance to lead her to Jesus that day outside the Panera Bread in Dallas, Texas. Not because of who I was, but because of who Jesus was through me. See, I don't want credit for that. I'm going to get to see her again someday in heaven. Chances are I'll never see her again until we see each other in glory. But that's okay. You know what? Somebody had to fork out the money for that meal. I could tell them at Panera, I love Jesus. And they're going to say, great, that's going to be $23.75. Yeah, but you know what else I know? I also know who gave me the 2375. And I know whose it was. It's his, it's not mine. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you know, a lot of people say, well, preacher, you're meddling now. Well, okay, maybe I am, but it's in the Word of God. But I will tell you this. Go ahead and try to outgive God. I dare you. Why can I say that? The Scriptures will even tell you that, too. The Lord says, see, you be faithful and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you can't even handle. I have personally tried to outgive God. Never have won. I'm like, here, watch this one, God. And not to be recognized, not that anybody knew it, and then all of a sudden, the next day, the Lord pays you back plus some. You're like, can't outgive him. You can't do it. It's impossible. Now, I'm done chasing that rabbit, so I'm going to swing her back around. What else does this scripture tell us today? That Jesus is promoting relationship over ritual. Knowing Jesus is not about rituals, but it's about a relationship that is characterized by love, obedience, and surrender. I've said before, we are creatures of habit. I take role in church based on where there's an empty spot in the congregation. Because we all sit in the same place. We're creatures of habit. Some of us come out of our cotton-picking mind if something gets rearranged. Boy, if we came in here next week with a completely different order of service, some of y'all would lose your mind. Wait, we can't sing here. That's when we take up the offering. We can't do this there. We get so process-oriented. You know what? I have never seen a bulletin from the church in Acts. Don't know how they did it. But I'll tell you this. I've seen how a service goes in a third world country. Y'all wouldn't make it. Let me tell you why. I've shared this with you before. We were sitting down to eat one time, and I was looking at my watch, and I'm like, we're supposed to be at this church in 15 minutes. And the church was 40 minutes away. And I'm like, Jose, don't we need to leave? I said, well, do we have time to eat? We probably just need to eat when we get back. He's like, no, it's all right. I was like, oh. I'm along for the ride. I said, I thought church started at this time. He goes, it does. Okay. So anyway, we're rolling up in that bad boy literally 45, 50 minutes late. You step out in the van, you can hear them singing in the church, having a good old time. So naturally, what you think? We walk in, they're like, about time these people made it. No. We walked in to sit down, and they sang for another 40 minutes. Then I preached. Honey, if you think I'm long, go to a service in Cuba. Y'all will be coming back going, this is the shortest preacher in the world. Thank God he's ours. Because you know what? It means so much more to them than it seems to in America these days. It's the worship. It's about the relationship with Jesus over the ritualism of going through the motions of what we do. It's not about what you wear. It's not about what you do. I said before, you know, if you have a face tattoo, that's not going to send you to hell. If you drank a beer, that's not going to send you to hell. You know, there's all these different things that what we do is we come up with, and we're like, Listen, by the way, if you get a chance, you want to do something really cool, back up and start today at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where it talks about not judging others. Judge not that you be not judged. Because the Lord says this. He says, if you want to use such a stringent method of judgment against other people, then I'll use that same standard against you. Last time I checked, I need all the help I can get. I'm the least judgmental person in the world. Just don't come in here with something on, that's good enough for me. As long as you got clothes on, that's cool. Otherwise, the deputy is going to make sure you're not here anyway. But it's about a relationship. Have you cultivated a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do you just simply know that's who he is? Has he changed your life? See, there's also a theological significance to this. At the heart of this passage is this distinction between performative faith and transformative faith. You see, performative faith focuses on the outward act, and it focuses on declarations, while transformative faith results in a changed heart and a changed life. It emphasizes the necessity of an intimate relationship with Christ that is characterized by obedience and alignment with God's will. Let me tell you why that's important. You know what's going on in society today? Let me tell you why people don't like this. They don't like this because it's offensive to their lifestyle. It is offensive to the way they do things. So you know what happens? Instead of a heart and a life being transformed to come into a line with what the Savior has to say, what they're trying to do is change this to fit their lifestyle. That's a crazy, listen, I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but let me tell you something, I'm not the dullest either. I mean, there's stuff that the Word says in black and white, and people are like, well, you know. And see, that's why we have a problem today with people accepting the Word of God as the true, inspired, inerrant, breathed into the Word Bible that we have. I've told you before, that's always my first question. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? That it is infallible? Well, you know, there's some symbolism in it. Nope. You know why? You will never win an argument with somebody who doesn't believe that there's a standard. See, if you watched any of the stuff about Charlie Kirk, that's exactly what he did. He took the standard. And he would ask me, well, where's the common sense? We're living in the craziest country and the craziest times I've ever seen in my life. Where people believe in fairy tale stuff and try to justify these things. I'm like, I've had a few conversations and let's just say they didn't go well. I wasn't the one that was mad. They screamed at me and walked away, but see what happens is when you point out some facts and some truth, it's amazing what truth does, isn't it? The truth is what makes you free. But one of the biggest problems is you first have to realize you're in bondage. And most people don't today. They think we're silly for gathering here today. They think we're silly for worshiping in Jesus. Okay, so we've got the verses. We've heard what Jesus has had to say. What does that mean to us? How do we make application to that today? Well, first thing you need to do is you need to have a self-examination. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has already spoken to your heart. You need to reflect on the authenticity of your relationship with Christ. Is it real? Or is it just something you do on Sunday? Is it just something you do here every now and then? Is it just play acting? Or is it just because it looks good for a political resume to be a part of it? I don't know what it is, but how authentic is your relationship with Christ? Are your actions aligned with God's will? Let me tell you something that is easy. This has been one I've hung on to for my whole ministry because it's worked. It's worked in my life. It's worked in everybody else's life. Here's the way it is. Somebody will say, well, can I do this or can I do that or should I do this or should I do that? And I say, what does the Word of God say? Most of the time I know. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get some justification to be able to do it. And I will always say this. If the Lord's word says, do not do this, do not do this. And I said, you know, there's other things along the way as well. There's precepts. And I will also say, because I get this one a lot, well, I believe the Lord is telling me to do this. And there have been times in my life when I have said, absolutely not. That is not from God. You just trying to make that sound good for people or whatever because you're getting ready to do something really stupid and you're going to blame it on God. God told me to do this. And you know what they say? They sit back and say, well, how do you know what God told me? I said, well, I don't know what God told you, but I know what God didn't tell you. I said, because what you're saying is in direct violation with what the Word of God says. And if it's in a direct violation with what the Word of God says, I promise you it didn't come from God. And they go, oh. Now, do they listen to me? No, they're like children. They go out and do what they want to do anyway, and then come back going, hey, you were right. No, I wasn't right. It was right here all the time. You just got to walk with him. Self-examination. Examine yourself today. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about your authentic walk with Christ? Is it there? Secondly, you need to pursue genuine faith. You need to cultivate that heartfelt relationship with Jesus through daily prayer, through study of his word, through obedience to his commands. And the way that you grow in that, guess what? Are you ready for this? Hang on. It's going to be a big one for you. A good way to do that is show up in church. A good way to do that is be a part of a Sunday school class. A good way to do that is to be a part of a discipleship group. We got all kinds of them. What's the Lord telling you? A good part of that is exercise your talent and your ability to do for God what he's asked you to do. One of the coolest things in the world is to be an instrument in the hand of God, and it blows people's mind. When you stop and help somebody change that tire on the side of the road, be careful if you do that, though. And they sit back and say, well, how much do I owe you? And you say, nothing. Huh? No, I have to get, no. I've told people before, I said, look, this is the end of this conversation because you're getting ready to rob me of a blessing. If you're going to try to pay me for doing this, no. God provided this for you. He used me to do it. No, I am not taking payment for something God gave you. That's like stealing. Pursue. You know what pursue means? Go after. Are you pursuing genuine faith? The third thing is avoiding spiritual complacency. Ooh, this one stings a little, doesn't it? Beware of relying on past deeds or superficial practices. Strive for continual spiritual growth and intimacy with Christ. You know, strive today to walk closer with him than you did yesterday. Do everything that you possibly can to cling to him no matter what. Not just in the bad times. It's easy to go to him in the bad times, isn't it? But what about when the good times are happening? Do you cling to him then? That's a huge one. It's interesting what Jesus declared. And this is what I want to kind of wrap this up with. I want to hit that. Hear the verses again. Just three verses. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now you understand what that means. It's not that you work your way there, but what he is saying is that Jesus in you transforms you. Jesus in you is it shows outside of you. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? All this stuff being done for you. And then get this. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here's my question today. If you had to stand in the face of Jesus today, and you may, what would he say to you about your walk with him or lack thereof? You stood before him. Is he going to call you by name? You know why I ask that question? Because those who know him, he knows by name. and calls by name. Remember the rich man Lazarus? He always called the rich man, but he called Lazarus, Lazarus, because he knew him. Knew him by name. He knows my name. Matter of fact, that's one of Brad's favorite ones. He knows my name. Does he know your name? Or are you going to be that person who has gone through your whole life? Listen, maybe you've been actively involved in church. You've done all these things. You've signed up for this. You've brought food. You've been there and done all these different things. And yet, when you look in the face of Jesus, is he going to say, I never knew you? Wow. Can you imagine that? Here's the sad part. There are millions of people who will hear exactly that. There's going to be a lot of preachers who are going to hear that. There's going to be a lot of deacons who are going to hear that. There's going to be a lot of Sunday school teachers who are going to hear that. There's going to be a lot of staff members who are going to hear that. There's going to be a lot of folks who sit in the pew Sunday after Sunday after Sunday who will hear, depart from me. I don't know you. Because they had the whole concept of salvation wrong. It's about a relationship. And you cultivate a relationship. Jesus don't want to be your acquaintance. He wants to be your deep, intimate friend. So where does he stack up on the priority of life? Listen, if your spiritual life is not number one, Let me just go ahead and tell you right now, your priorities are out of order. I just don't have time to have a quiet time, Lord. Then your priorities are out of order. I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm that redneck hillbilly boy who doesn't know any tactful way other than to say, you're wrong. If you can't make time for church or a discipleship group, your priorities are wrong. You are serving you. You're not serving him. Well, preacher, you're sounding like one of them old hellfire and brimstone preachers from up in the mountains. Yeah, probably am, because that's what I am. Let's quit. Let's just quit with all the mess, and let's just come together, and let's just love on Jesus together. Let's support and let's encourage one another to the point that when people in this town see the love of Jesus oozing from us, they can't wait to come find out for themselves what it's all about. See, that is what's important. You know what's not important? Who turns around in the driveway? You know what's not important? It's not important whether or not the bulbs on the chandeliers are dusted or not. You know what? I have a feeling that the way it works out is there's somebody who has a talent to dust bulbs. If the bulbs need dusted, God's going to send somebody down here and goes, if I come down here tomorrow and nobody will be here, I can take a ladder and dust them bulbs. Is that important? Yes, that's important because that's how you serve. That's the cool part, isn't it? Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. So today I'm asking you this question. Will you be one to enter the kingdom of heaven? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn. I think the worst thing in the world, well, the worst thing in eternity would be to hear, you know, I don't know who you are. And by the way, in that scripture text, did you hear what they said to him? Lord, we did all this stuff in your name. We did all this stuff for you. These were the things that we did for you. Jesus said, I didn't want you to do something for me. I wanted you to love me and have a relationship with. Here, this is, you know what's really cool? Last time I checked, God does not need my money. Last time I checked, God doesn't need me for anything, but he wants to use me for his kingdom. Lord owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. If we have a need, and it's a need, and the Lord can meet it just like that. I've seen it. I've watched God do things financially, and yet some of us can't get to the point where we're even being faithful with what God's asked us to do with the tithe. And I was telling this, I said, look, people go, well, preacher, you're just wanting my money. No, I don't want your money. It's not about that. I want you to experience the blessing that God promises in His word because you are faithful in that area. Hey, God's going to take care of His own stuff down here. We've seen it happen. We've had people walk in there and put a check down of $100,000. God knows what He's doing. This is all about how He wants to bless you. Have you been faithful? Listen, in the same way, you maybe have cried out, Lord, Lord. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but I also don't want to give you a false sense of security. Have you been that person who's gone through your life thinking it's about the stuff that you do or don't do? And have you cultivated that relationship? You know, there's people in my life that are long lost friends or whatever. You know, when I get a chance to get together with them, I don't want nothing from them except time. Do you realize that time is more valuable than money today? Because time is something that once given, you can never give back. Time. I'd rather sit down, have a cup of coffee with somebody than for them just to stand there and hand me a check. No, I want to be a part of your life. Tell me about you. Tell me your story. I'll tell you mine. I want to get to know you. And you know what? You would be surprised if you did that with some of the people that you sit in this room with every Sunday. I have sat down and heard people's stories and gone, wow, I did not know that. Things that'll just rip your hearts out. I can look out over this room and I know those things that you have battled. A lot of people don't know that. The hurt you've had to struggle through. The way that you've had to hold on to the coattails of the master to get you through. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of the Father. Not works. I'm not preaching works. I'm going to keep reminding you that. I'm preaching relationship. But when you have a relationship, the things that follow that prove it. I do what I do because I love the Master. Because He's led me to do these things. Not because I'm trying to make brownie points for myself or anybody else. If you stood before the Master today, would He look at you and call you by name, or would He say, I don't know who you are? Listen, I think it's critical that we make a check of that, because I can't tell you the number of people who later in life, one of our very own here 20 years ago, who had served as a deacon, who had served in churches and everything else, gave his life to Jesus Christ in a lobby of a theater because he realized it wasn't about the stuff that he had done, it's about who he knows. And then made a public profession of faith the next day here in church, and then was baptized. He wasn't worried about people saying, you were a deacon and you were not saved. Listen, get it right. Eternity is much longer. Eternity is much more important than what people think here. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. I don't want to stand in front of Jesus and Him say, I never knew you. And y'all be going, well, man, he preached a few good sermons in his day, and I heard a couple of them. And there were people who got saved under his ministry, and yet he's going to spend eternity in hell? You, without Jesus, you will. You can say the right things, you can even do the right things and still not know Jesus. So I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus? Holy Spirit's already helping you with that. If not, I don't even want you to take another step further. I want you to bow your head right now and cry out to the Lord. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Forgive my sins. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you did that, what did I say before? That's the handshake. Now it's time to get to know Jesus. And some of y'all might say, well, I don't know how to do that. Call me. Let's sit down for coffee. I got the plan on this because this is what I do. We can walk with each other in discipleship and spiritual growth. And listen, I will promise you this. If you do it the right way, discipleship's really fun, isn't it? I mean, look, you know, Mari's got some ladies in a new group up there, and goodness gracious, they done outgrown about the house in a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks, y'all, a couple of weeks. Guys, we've got the same thing. We got a couple of different groups. You can come on, I promise you, you'll love it. But you'll never know till you try it. You want to be a part of a discipleship group? Let me know. You might say, I don't like you. Well, Steve's got a group too. That's okay. We'll put you in Steve's group. We'll get that figured out. But at any rate, do what the Holy Spirit has pressed in your heart to do. I know I was a little long today, but I'll tell you this. To me, I think that's a critical, critical message that all of us need to evaluate. May we never sleep on the job. May we not be lulled into safety by Satan, but rather take those steps. That doesn't make us perfect. Listen, we mess up all the time. But what's from there? Okay, listen. If you've trusted Jesus, I want you to let me know. We want to celebrate with you. We're going to have our invitation hymn. I'm going to be down here. Listen, maybe the Lord just kicked you around a little bit. You know, you're a believer. You know, you understand that. Listen, if you need some time at the altar, it's here. We still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call because there ain't nothing like it. What are you going to do with what the Holy Spirit's put on your heart today? It is time to do that now. Do not delay. As we stand and we sing our invitation hymn number 281, Speak to My Heart, as Brad comes to lead us.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my speak to my heart. speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart. Today.
As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and as Vicki plays through our chorus, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Now, Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you provide more than we ever know and more than we ever see. So today, Father, as we come to you in an act of worship to give back to you that portion that you have requested us to give back to you, that we might be blessed personally for being obedient to what you've called us to do. Lord, may we be found faithful during this time as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me give you a couple things, and then we'll get you out of here. As far as birthdays this week, today, our very own David Miller is celebrating a birthday. I'm not going to say which one. If he chooses to, that's up to him. But give him some loving as he celebrates his birthday today. The others that we have coming up this week on Wednesday, Grace Willard will be celebrating a birthday. Then on Friday, Brentley Myrick, that is Jim and Debbie's grandson, will be celebrating a birthday. And Hannah Johnson will also have a birthday this coming Friday. Then Saturday, Ann Brooks will be making another turn around the sun, as well as my son, Blake Carter. He will be having a birthday this Saturday as well, shares that same date with Ann. I don't have anything listed as far as anniversaries this week. And I also remind folks, if we don't have your information, we can't put it out there. So don't get mad at us if we miss a birthday or an anniversary. If we do, it just means we don't have it. But if you'll give it to us, we'll make sure we get it put on there. So at any rate, we appreciate that. Just a couple things we've got coming up for today. My D-Life group will meet at 3:30 here at the church. Choir practice is at 4:45 here in the sanctuary. Awana starts at 5:30. The Sunday adult Sunday Bible study with Pastor David is be at 6 o'clock. And then band rehearsal is not going to happen tonight. Okay, all right. You're not having band rehearsal this evening. Jim will keep you posted on that as we go forward. So just making sure I hit the highlights. The ladies monthly connections meeting will be on the 8th of October at 4 p.m. here at the church. And then the ladies monthly breakfast is going to be on October the 9th at Cagney's at 9 a.m. If you have any questions about that, you can see Mari or Sylvia and they'll get you lined out on that. There is a meeting for the ladies that are planning on going on the Myrtle Beach trip. That will be today in the sanctuary at 3:30. Is that right, Marcia? Ocean Isle, okay. Oh, it says, did I say Myrtle Beach? It's just stuck in my head. Oh. All right, Ocean Isle. If you're going to the beach, I don't care which one, and you're one of the ladies, y'all show up today at 3:30, and that's an information meeting. Marcia will take care of that. If you have any questions, that's Marcia. Wave, Marcia. Marcia will get you squared away with anything. Now, remember, ladies, where are you meeting at 3:30? Right here. I just want to make sure because I know, like I say, all kinds of crazy meeting places, but right here today in the sanctuary. Actually, Saturday, October the 11th is the mission celebration that the Piedmont Association is actually going to be doing. That's that one I was telling you. There's like four different places around the triad that we're doing those. We're actually going to be entertaining one of the missionaries that will be in. He will be speaking with us here at the church on the 12th. Marty Childers is his name. He served overseas, so we're actually taking care of making sure he is at the missions conference and all that. So we're kind of entertaining him in that particular time. So we'd love to have you come. There is a registration. It is complicated. I'm not exactly computer savvy, but I know enough to make me dangerous. But if you would like to go to this on the October the 11th, which is on a Saturday from 8 to 12, just see me. I will get you registered for the location because you got to scan a thing and do all that. So I'll do the hard part. Just let me know if you want to go. Also, as a reminder, our Team Cuba trip for 2026, put this on your heart, your prayers and everything else, is going to be February the 27th through March the 6th of 2026. And we will look forward to if the Lord's leading you to go, hey, it's time to step it up. A couple things before David comes to dismiss us in a word of prayer. First of all, we want to remember Jeff Willard and his family. Jeff's mother went home to be with the Lord day before yesterday. Funeral services will be coming up this coming Friday at the Kernersville Moravian Church. With a burial to follow. We have posted her obituary on our site. Is there anything you want us to add, brother?
They're going to add photos of that, and the service will be at 11 a.m.
11 a.m., okay. Thank you, Jeff. So that's for Jeff's mom this coming Friday at Kernersville Moravian Church. I was getting ready to make a denomination out of the church, but Kernersville Moravian Church. And please pray for Jeff and his family. I know it's been a lot of ins and outs over the past year or so with situations of trying to care for his mom. So anyway, pray for him during this difficult time. Also, I've got this card from the family of Kitty Vernon for Central Baptist Church. They say, thank you for your kind expressions of sympathy for the flowers, cards, food, and messages. The love and prayers that you have shown has given us great comfort during this difficult time. It is deeply appreciated and will forever be remembered, the family of Kitty Vernon. So continue to remember them as they adjust to the new normal. If you're wondering who Kitty is, that's Mark's mama, and that's Mark sitting right back over there on the back row. Mark is a real back row Baptist. He's my back row Baptist deacon. So I guess he can run if it gets too bad. If I get ready to ask him something, he can get out the door real quick. I have to pick on him because I love him. What a great, great family. Guys, thank y'all so much for your love, your patience, and everything else that goes along with it. We look forward to continuing to serve together. Pastor David, birthday boy, come on up and see us off in a word of prayer.
Roy said he wouldn't tell you how old I am, but I'm kind of like Minnie Pearl. I'm just proud to be here. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege we have of talking to you and studying your word. Lord, for these two gifts, we thank you and we pray, Father, that you will help us cultivate these two gifts in our lives. And as we do that, that the overflow of our relationship to you will flow out into the world and we'll be a witness for you that will change the lives of other people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.